This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Celeste Ng to the studio. She's the author of the book Everything I Never Told You, which was Amazon's number one best book of 2014, a New York Times Book Review notable book last year as well, and best book of the year, according to NPR, Shelf Awareness, and other sources. Everything I Never Told You, the novel now out in paperback. Celeste Ng, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much for having me.
The book is about a story of a mixed-race family living in Ohio in the 1970s. I love the beginning. Lydia is dead, but they don't know this yet. And you swept me in right from the beginning with that line. Was that a line that you started out with, or did you come back to it after you've been working on the novel for a while?
That first line was actually one of the very last things to fall into place. Originally, the book started a little differently. It originally started, at first, they don't know where Lydia has gone. And what I realized over the course of about 6 years of working on the book and four different drafts was that that was getting the reader pointed in the wrong direction right from the beginning. It got the reader wondering, well, is she alive or is she dead? And that wasn't the question I wanted the reader to be thinking about. I wasn't interested in writing a mystery story per se. I was more interested in how the family got into the situation. And so in the very last draft, I realized that I should just put that information right up front and tell the reader right at the very beginning that Lydia is dead. And then the question always becomes, how did we get here rather than what happened to her?
You mentioned, I was going to ask about that 6 years it took to write this novel. You mentioned that in the acknowledgments and say thank you for being patient. But why did it take so long, Celeste?
Well, I felt that I was working very, very slowly, and I was sort of anxious about it. And then one of my professors told me that the average time for our first novel is between 5 and 10 years, and that simultaneously made me feel much better and also much worse partway through that it's just supposed to take that long. Part of it is that for a lot of that time period, I was sort of working odd jobs, as most writers do. I was freelance editing or freelance proofreading, or I was working for startups and helping them with their websites and things like that. And so I didn't have as much writing time as I wanted to. And part of it was just I needed that much time to sort of figure out what the story was and then to figure out how to tell the story. That was really what took a long time.
I love the way you capture the family dynamic in this book. Is this the family dynamic that you had growing up at all? I mean, because the relationship between Lydia and her parents and her siblings, you just hit it dead on, Celeste.
Well, thank you. And fortunately, it was not really very much at all like the dynamic that I had in my own family, that my parents were really supportive of me overall. They actually were scientists, and my sister is an engineer, so I come from a very sort of STEM-oriented family.
And you're a writer?
Yeah, but they were also sort of voracious readers, and our house was just overflowing with books. And they all had different kinds of appreciation for the written word and for storytelling and for expression. And so they were very supportive when I became a writer. And that, unfortunately, is not the case for Lydia in the book. Likewise, my sister and I only have one sister, and we always got along pretty well. And if our parents had a favorite, I don't know which one of us it is. If they had a favorite, they hid it. But in this family, there's a very clear favorite, and that's part of the problem.
Well, was it at least the observation of the family dynamic growing up that you drew upon a little?
A little bit. There were certainly parts of the family dynamic that I drew on from my own family. So, for example, my father was a Chinese-American man. He immigrated from Hong Kong in the 60s, along with my mother. And I saw some of what it was like for him to be an Asian-American man in places where there were very few Asians. You know, I saw that the expectations that people had of what he was supposed to be like, or what they thought he was going to be doing, and how that didn't always mesh with who he actually was. And likewise, I saw my mom, who actually is a scientist, unlike the mother in the book, I saw what it was like for her to be a woman in what's a very male-dominated field. She's a chemist, and that's still a very male-dominated field. And so a lot of those dynamics I did observe in my own family.
I'm speaking with Celeste Ng. Her novel, Everything I Never Told You, is out in paperback now. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And that was one of my questions. You're from a family of scientists. Why do you put, and storytelling is often a part of science as well. And you show in this novel how people sometimes struggle to share their story with others. Was it a struggle for you in dealing with that, any aspect of the story more than another?
Well, one of the problems is that one of the things I was interested in writing about in the novel, as you point out, is sort of the ways that these different characters withhold information from each other, the ways that they keep themselves quiet, or, you know, the things that they don't tell each other. And my problem was how to get the reader access to all of the characters' minds so that the reader would get to hear everybody's secrets, even though the members of the family were not sharing them. And that was, again, going back to your earlier question, part of why it took 6 years to write is I had to figure out how to give the reader access to everybody's mind so that the reader could see the whole story.
While writing this book, I read somewhere that you gave birth to a son. And becoming a parent, did that change the way that you looked at this family and everything I never told you?
It did. I mean, when I started the book, I didn't have any children. And I thought in writing those early drafts before my son was born that I was being very even-handed and that I could imagine my way into being a parent. And then after I had my son, I realized that I had understood it, but I didn't really get it. You know, I started to understand how, you know, you will do anything to give your child a good life and how that could be a really dangerous sort of emotion to have. You know, it could lead you down a very dangerous path, as it sort of does for the parents in this book. So I think that kind of brought home to me sort of the kind of intense passion that parents have for their children and the kind of scary things it could lead them to do.
I wanted to ask why you said it in the 1970s. Let's just say I'm old enough to remember it, Celeste. You look like you're probably younger than that.
So it's true that I wasn't a teen in the 1970s, but whether it was the town that I lived in or my family that was behind the times, I don't know. But it never felt like it was very far away to me. My sister grew up in the 1970s, and so I heard a lot of memories from her, and a lot of things from that time period were still around in our house. I mean, everyone I knew still had like the plaid curtains and the plaid couch and the record player that kind of skipped a little bit and the TV with the dials where you had to adjust the loop. You know, all that. That was the stuff that I grew up with, too. The reason that I set the story in the 70s was that as I started to get to know this family and I started to learn about the characters and figure out sort of what their issues were and what they were grappling with and what they were afraid of, the 70s seemed to be the time period that really encapsulated all of that at the same time. So, for example, the fact that this is an interracial marriage that is becoming much more commonplace now, but would have stood out much more in the 70s and even more in the 50s when the parents actually meet and get married. And likewise, Marilyn, the mother, really struggles with seeing her daughter have opportunities that she herself, as a college student in the 50s, kind of didn't have. And that seemed like a really poignant moment to look at that mother-daughter relationship.
I was wondering, as you've been living with this book, well, writing it for 6 years, and now after the hardback came out, garnered a lot of praise, now the paperback, what are people most interested in finding out about your novel?
They really want to know sort of what parts of it came from real life. They want to know sort of which parts were based on real life, or is this my family?
All these questions I'm taking, right?
Well, I think that's such a natural impulse. You know, when we hear a story, what we want to know is, well, how much of this is true? And the truth is that none of the plot is really based on real life, but a lot of the other parts of it are taken from reality, sort of the experience of being an Asian in a place where there are very few other Asians, or the experience of trying to figure out what you want versus what your parents want. It's a really hard thing to sort of suss out, and hopefully those are the sort of larger universal truths that also come through in the book.
Well, I have to say that I was swept in, you know, from the opening line as a parent because of, you know, that fear, what you were talking about, that, you know, doing anything to protect your child. I imagine, well, in just thinking about it, living through those emotions while I was reading it, I can't imagine living through those emotions while you were writing it. Was it difficult to write about death and grief and loss?
It was and it wasn't. I've always been drawn to writing about loss and grief, I think because writers tend to tackle in their fiction the things that they're most afraid of themselves. It's almost like making yourself have a bad dream. You know, they say dreams are sort of a rehearsal for your fears. Your system can kind of practice and get used to them and, you know, exercise those fears. And in some ways, that's the role that fiction plays for me. And so I often write about losses because one of the worst things I can imagine is losing someone that I love. At the same time, though, especially after I became a mother, I did get really antsy in trying to imagine what it would be like to have a child and then lose that child. And so when I would write this book, sometimes then I would have to go in and check on my son and make sure he was doing okay and, you know, that kind of thing.
I bet. Well, this came out, it was released originally with high critical praise before it even hit bookstores. And now, you know, I talked about it, Amazon Best Book, New York Times Book Review Notable Book, Best Book of the Year, et cetera. What's that been like after 6 years of struggles?
It's been really crazy. I keep thinking periodically, is it possible that I'm just hallucinating this? And my husband says it's possible, but pretty unlikely that that is happening. But it's been really amazing and thrilling, and I'm incredibly grateful for how many people are reading the book and how many people seem to connect with it, and then how many people tell me about it or tell their friends about it. That's, I think, a writer's sort of wildest dream. It certainly was a little beyond my wildest dreams, and so it's been really, really amazing.
Speaking with Celeste Ng, her novel Everything I Never Told You, now out in paperback. Learn more at WVXU.org. And you are touring for the paperback, and I know that you just came from Pittsburgh and Cleveland. You grew up in Shaker Heights and in Pittsburgh, and now you're down here in Cincinnati. What was it like going back to those places with the successful book?
It was kind of fun. It was definitely surreal. I read at the Shaker Heights Public Library, which is the public library in my hometown and the library that I used to go to when I was a kid, then when I was a teenager. And it was fun to go into that space that I remembered from being younger. And then they had all these posters up with my face on it. It was very weird. I would walk around and I would go, well, I'm going to just wander the stacks. And I would run into a poster with my face on it. And then I went, well, I'm going to get some water. And hanging over the water fountain, there's a poster with my face on it. And then I came in to read and they gave me a bottle of water that also had my face on it. And that was just, It was just sort of hilarious, but also really, it felt like coming home in a lot of ways, that they were really proud of me. And that was wonderful. Wonderful.
So what has made you happiest in reaction to the book? I mean, what has been, as a writer and an artist, most gratifying about this whole environment and happening?
I mean, a lot of really nice things have happened, obviously, but I think the thing that's really touched me most is when readers write to me, either through my website or on Facebook or on Twitter, and tell me that they connected with the book. I've had a number of emails of Asian Americans or part Asians who say, I haven't read a book that I saw myself in, or that seemed to reflect me and my experience. And that was a really powerful thing to hear. And then sometimes I get emails, not always from Asians, sometimes from people who are not Asian at all, but who say, this book changed how I think about my relationship with my mother, or this book changed how I think about my relationship to my children. And that is, I think, a huge, huge compliment.
Well, I have to say, I love how in the book you, with each family member, go back and have them think about the last time that they saw Lydia, and you know that human being. Oh, I wish I had done something different. If I knew that was the last time, and it frankly was just amazing. So it makes me think a lot about the how fast life goes flying past us, Celeste. So.
It does, and I think that's a really natural human reaction, that we sometimes don't appreciate what's going on in our lives until it's gone. Earlier in the book tour, I took an Uber ride to the airport, and the Uber driver asked me what my book was about, and as soon as I told him the title, he started telling me about the death of his parents and about how now he wishes there were things that he wishes he had told them, and all of these sorts of emotions come out. I think that's a very universal thing, and that may be why it resonates with a lot of people.
So, Everything I Never Told You, your first novel, 6 years working on that. Will it be another 6 years, Celeste, before your next book?
I hope not. Soon after the book came out and started to do well, people, including my agent and my editor, would say, so, how's it going? What are you doing? Yeah. So I have started another novel that's sort of on pause right now as I've been going around on tour. But I think it's going to be another family story. And I am pretty sure it's going to take place in my hometown of Shaker Heights, which is a nice place to grow up, but has a lot of quirks. And so I'm excited to set a story there.
Well, Celeste Ng, author of Everything I Never Told You, the novel now out in paperback on the Book Club at 91.7. We ask authors and guests, what are you reading? What are you reading right now, Celeste?
I've been reading a couple books that aren't out yet because I'm in the funny and fun position of having people send their books to me and asking me to blurb them, as we say, or to write, a little line in support of them. And so I've been reading a couple manuscripts. One is a new novel by Anna Solomon. She had a first novel called The Little Bride, and her new novel that's coming out, I believe, in 2017 is called The Mother Rock. So that's one thing that I read and loved. Another thing that I've been reading reading recently is a series, actually a middle grade series, but tremendously fun for adults also, by a guy named Edward Carey. It's called Heap House is the first book, and then the second book is called Foulsham, and they're set in this wonderful Victorian England in which it's sort of alternative universe where there's a garbage heap that's taking over the city, and there's sort of hidden things, and there are these mystical objects that people have to carry around, and it's just been, they're really smart and really funny and really fun, and I'm a little mad at him because it's a trilogy and I need to wait another 2 years for the third one to come out. So those I highly recommend for people, really fun summer reads.
Oh, been there, do that when it comes to that. Well, thank you for being here today, Celeste.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure.
Celeste Ng, her novel, Everything I Never Told You, is now out in paperback. You can learn more about it at the website, WVXU.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.
Stay in touch with The Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU's Facebook page, via email, book@WVXU.org, or on the web at WVXU.org.
You've been listening to The Book Club at 91.7. Technical director is Bruce Ellis, producers Kevin Reynolds, music director and segment engineers Rick Andrus, web guru is Jim Nolan, the announcers Robin Carey Allgaier, and I'm Mark Purcell. Heading your way next week, The Cake Therapist. Best-selling cookbook author and Cincinnati native Judith Fertig will be here to discuss her first foray into fiction. It's a story set in a bakery in Wyoming, Ohio. I hope you'll be here next Saturday morning for The Book Club at 91.7, and stay tuned for Weekend Edition next on 91.7 WVXU.